one of the reasons that we were drawn to Struts is that it felt like it was kind of a well-oiled machine. It had a good national reputation. It had a solid schedule. Like, it had an agenda, a mandate. It knew what it was doing, and it did it well. Our plan was to not come in and ruffle that, you know, maybe bring a slightly different perspective and some new things, obviously. But primarily, we imagined that we would just be continuing the good work that the gallery did, and then everything had to be reimagined from day one. We had a complete staff turnover, like 100% staff turnover, and almost nothing we could, you know, residencies, nope, barbecues, nope, like summer workshops, like all of the things that Struts is best known for could not take place in a pandemic. But, you know, even in the lighter phases, like forget the red and oranges of recent days, but even in the middle of summer, you know, we couldn't plan far enough in advance that if we invited someone, we didn't know if the borders would be closed, if the Atlantic bubble would change, which it has a few times. So we sort of decided pretty early on to not chase that, to not try and do any, you know, not try to smuggle people in for small shows and things like that, but just to abandon all on-site programming and shift our efforts elsewhere. So the main thing that we did with that, you may know about if you interviewed Emily and Lucas for Fruit Salad, but we formed with the Owens Art Gallery, who had always been, you know, good partners with Struts in the past, I gather. But we sort of formalized that relationship and formed something called Umbrella Projects. And so, you know, we did the Cube project, the projection on the Cube. We did the Fruit Salad video program in the Owens window. But the kind of the main thing that we did, and none of it is launched yet, is that we took out ads in magazines and sent out emails to all of our lists asking artists, like, what do they want to do? Like, what sort of projects did they foresee taking place during the pandemic? And I think we had almost 70 applications. We struck a committee with members from both galleries and some community people as well, and selected 10 projects that we're going to begin launching in, like, in a matter of weeks. The first one will probably be announced, and that they will continue through to the summer.
Okay. So, speaking of the Owens, I suppose, Sweetest Little Thing is a big fundraiser you both do together. Do you have any plans for that yet?
Yep, we had a meeting yesterday and another tomorrow. It will, of course, all be online, which I think is very different, and it does worry me quite a lot. Like, when we, the first Sweetest Little Thing we attended was about, maybe we had applied for the job, or we had been offered the job, but we hadn't yet started yet. So, and I had I'd maybe had submitted a work before a few years prior or something, and, you know, we had paid attention to it online, the online auction aspect, but we were walking down the street from our house, which is only a few blocks away from the Owens. We kept seeing people, like, coming out of their front doors dressed up, and we thought, they're not going to the same thing we're going to, are we? Like, it's very rare in my life that I walk down the street and everybody is going to the thing that I'm going to. And sure enough, they all were. Like, everybody we saw come out of their house in that 5-10 minute walk, they were all heading to the Owens. And they weren't all art people necessarily. I think the success of the Sweetest Little Thing in the past has been that it became this community event. It became this thing that you did on Valentine's Day with your partner. It became an opportunity to dress up and, you know, take part in contests and see some artwork. And it just became a social gathering. So obviously that aspect of the fundraiser is mostly lost. We're going to try and salvage it. Graham Patterson is going to host an after-auction dance party online. And we're going to try to have some other things. You know, we'll host an online version of the auction. It won't just be a website that you go to bid. There'll also be a live aspect of it with hopefully the same host that we had previously and some new people and couple other little, you know, maybe there's talk of auction, raffling a cake, and the winner will be local, and someone will get in the car and, like, live stream the drive to their house and deliver them the cake. Just stupid little things like that to keep ourselves entertained and make it more than just, you know, how much money can we get for these artworks.
Handmade Assembly, another annual event for the local craft community, had to change its usual form from workshops and craft sales Diamond and Partheno decided they would honor the 10-year tradition of the assembly with a book.
There's this whole history of artists working in a tactile way with the codex volume, that we can have foldouts, we can have die cuts, you know, there can be a number of projects that actually take the printed page as its source material, and some of those things that we've received in these applications, which we've just begun going through with our larger committee. It's a little bit of history. Like, I want the book to be like 20-25% a look back at some of the things that have been done, but I don't want it to be beholden to that. I also want it to be as though it were the latest iteration. You know, if we normally we would bring a keynote speaker in, but we couldn't do that this year. Mm-hmm. So that keynote speaker will, that keynote speech will exist as an essay in the book. I personally am not a huge fan of online programming.
Diamond and Partheno are new to the area and enjoying it so far. Struts is reworking its website at the moment, but stay tuned for updates on their social media. Expect to see some variation of Sweetest Little Thing this Valentine's Day. For CHMA News, I'm Meg Cunningham.